And if you will, turn with me into 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Boy, I've been struggling this morning over what to preach. And you pray for us today. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. For the sake of time, I'm going to start reading. Let me start reading here in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king shall will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine that taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. The people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war." May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word, and let us go again to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord, as we come before You again today, I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together here. Lord, I thank You for the sweet spirit we've already felt here this morning. Lord, for Your touch already, the power of the Holy Ghost already moving. And Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You for Brother Ken and Sister Renee and the work here. Lord, use them in it, God, that it be the means of many of being saved. And many one day walk in a street of gold because they took a stand. And Lord, I pray You bless this church, God, to be a soul-winning station. I pray, Father, that You'd help each of us now. Lord, should there be one here that's unsaved, Lord, I pray You'd take this old stammered tongue, use us to say something, would help their eyes to be open, they could see, their ears open, they could hear, and their hearts open, they could understand their lost condition. Now, I just ask, Father, that You'd, if there's one here that's saved, Lord, grown cold towards You, that this might be the day, Lord, they'd come and just scrooch back up close to You. Get back where You might use them again. Go with us now. Lead, direct, have Your will and way in that You do. We'll praise You and thank You. In Jesus' sweet and precious name we do pray. Amen. For just a little while, I want to talk about this. About is there not a cause? And I want to talk about somebody mentioned a while ago praying about a start of a great revival. I want to preach this morning on the start of a great revival. Now I want you to see and understand, the Bible tells us, you know the story about Goliath and David here. I know Brother Ken's preached on it many times, no doubt. I can't cover anything, no doubt, that he's not covered before. But this is what God's laid on my heart. I want you to understand, old Goliath, the Bible tells us, stood over 9 foot tall. We know that he was a big man. But I want you to understand, the Bible said that he came for a reason, and that was to defy the armies of the living God. That word defies means to take away the glory or defame. In other words, take the fame of God away. We're seeing that in our own nation today. They're trying to take away the glory of God. They're trying to place it in other places, and they're replacing it with mechanical things and other things. And I want you to understand, there's nothing can replace the glory of God. There's nothing. Praise God, you can have a crowd if you want. You can draw millions if you want. But without the glory of God, there'll be nothing done. It takes God's glory. And David there, when he came on the scene, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he tries to take away the glory from God?" Old David there was one that took a stand. And I want you to understand, it's high time that you and I took a stand. I'm tired of this mess being shoved down my throat and about them saying that we're going to do this. I'm not going to. I'm going to tell you that. I may end up in prison. They may be visiting me before long, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going that way. But I want you to see, the Bible tells us here that David said, David's own brother came against him there, Eliab. And I want you to see and understand how it divides families anymore, what's going on anymore. Even David's own brother said, "David, what are you doing down here?" David said, "I'm down here for a reason. There's a cause for me being here. I've got four reasons at home that I'm taking a stand. I've got four little grandkids that I'm taking a stand for this. I'm going to fight this thing to the end. I'm going to stand against the devil and everything I've got. There's a cause, and I've got some kids that I worry about." All these little ones that come around here this morning, they're the cause and the reason that you and I need to take a stand against this. I want you to understand, David said, "Is there not a cause?" And the Bible said, when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent for him. And David said, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." Now, I want you to notice, David said, don't you worry about it. David said, "I've been working out. And you don't have to worry about a thing." He said, I've been working out and preparing for such a time as this. Now, you ever seen these people that works out? I mean, with weights and all. You know it when you see them. They'll get them a t-shirt about three sizes too small, and they'll get it on so you can see their guns, you know, and their washboard abs. They want you. I don't wear tight clothing because I don't offend nobody, you know, with the. But I want you to understand, you know that they've been working out. You can see it. It shows on their lives. It shows, and the Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter, verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wise fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that is now, and of that which is to come." I want you to understand how the Bible tells us to exercise ourselves in godliness. That bodily exercise profiteth. And the Bible says if we'll exercise ourselves in God, it's profitable now. But not only now, but in the life that is to come. That it reaches beyond this life. And David said, "I've been working out." He said, "I've been exercising. I've been working with God." You know, there was something different about David than the rest of that crowd. When Samuel anointed David with the oil to be king, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now we find in the Old Testament that the Spirit of God appeared on men at such times as was needed. But on David, the Bible said that the Spirit of God was upon him from that day forward. I want you to understand that David was a man how that looked to God. How the Bible tells us God had already seen David's heart. His strength wasn't on the outside, how it was on the inside. How God told Saul, he said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And David said, I've been working out. He said, you don't have to worry about him. I'll take care of him. I've been preparing for this. He said, there was a lion that came, took one of my father's sheep. He said, there was an old bear that came, took one of my father's sheep. He said, that's just practice. He said, you let me get my hands on that Philistine. He said, I'll show you a thing or two how through the power of God. I want you to understand that we need some power. We need some that wants to be a David that'll take a stand against these things. And I want you to understand that David loved God. The Bible tells us in Acts in the 13th chapter over that David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible tells us in Psalms that he desired to be the apple of God's eye. You know what it is to be the apple of somebody's eye? Now, I'm sure y'all got fruit trees down here. Where I used to pastor over 35 years ago up in Virginia in orchard country. I mean, there's peaches and apples everywhere right around the church there. Where I'm. And you ever walked out to an apple tree? And one apple right in the top of that tree caught your eye. You'll stand and throw rocks and sticks and everything else trying to knock out one apple. Apples falling everywhere all around. But you won't quit till you knock out and down. David said, I want to be like that. And God walks on the same. I want him to see me. I want to be that one that catches his eye. That one that's got something different about him. How that catches the eye of God. Boy, I want to be like that. I want to be the one that catches his eye. I want to be one that's got a different touch than the rest of the crowd. I want to be one that God can use and see something different in. And old David there, he said, I love him. Old David messed up in his life. You and I are not perfect. And we can't throw rocks at David because you and I are the same way. But David said, I'll go fight him. The Bible tells us there, the servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied, taken away the glory of God. He said, I'm going to stand to restore the glory of God. He said, I want the glory back in this thing. Praise God. I tell our church when we established it and built it, I said, I don't want a normal church. I don't want the norm. No. My wife said, don't say that. I said, I want something different. I want something that's abnormal. She'd tell me, don't say that. Praise God, this day and time to have a church with the Holy Ghost in it and the power of God on it is abnormal. I want you to know. But I want that. I thank God for what I feel here this morning. No, David said, this old big giant ain't no more than that. And David said, moreover, the Lord. Now, I want you to understand, no, city, no nation is recovered by their army, but by the hand of God. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, put a helmet of brass upon his head, and armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go out, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. I want you to understand, Saul stood head and shoulders above any man, the Bible tells us. And he put his armor upon David. I want you to understand what that armor is. That's man's attempt to defend himself by his own works against the devil. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you think your armor is. Praise God, it's no match for the devil. Had that armor, David said, he said, I ain't proved it. He said, I don't do that. Had God told us over there, and I believe it's in 2 Timothy or Ephesians, maybe it is the 6th chapter, how the Bible said to put on the whole armor of God, and when you put on the armor of God, he said to stand. Take a stand. Just stand for God and go for God. We need to take a stand for the Lord and go for Him. It doesn't matter where the world's a going. There's a lot of preachers today that are so-called preachers. I mean, they're on TV. They're wanting you to sow a seed. Send them $1,000. You'll never hear them mention about salvation or anything like that. They want your pocketbooks, what they're wanting. They don't want God. But now I want you to notice something. The Bible said, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones. Now, he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, the Valley of Elah is where they was at. I had the privilege of going to Israel. Been there. I had the privilege of going a couple of times. And I've been to the Valley of Elah. And I had the privilege of kneeling down in that brook. And I picked me out 5 smooth stones out of that brook. To get to him, David had to get down on his knees. I want you to understand where our protection comes from. It's down on our knees is where our power comes from. Old David said, that armor, I can't wear that. He said, but I've got some more. Yeah. David knelt down in that brook and picked him up 5 smooth stones there. 5 being the number of God's grace. Old David said, now I'm ready. I'm ready to go now. Yeah. Put him in his scrip's bag and took him a sling and headed on down toward the enemy. Now, I want you to notice what it said here. The Bible tells us over here the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and of fair countenance. The Bible tells us that the old Philistine began to scorn David. He laughed at him. The world's laughing at those that are taking a stand for God. I want you to understand, they're making fun of you. They're laughing at you. Let them laugh. Glory to God. I'm glad that old Saul said, David, you can't fight him. You can't. You're no match. How the devil will tell you you're no match for the world. Praise God, I'm going to stand. It doesn't matter. There was a French commander in World War I, his name was Marshal Foe. And he radioed in one day. He said, my center's pushed back and my right's caving in. In other words, looked like ultimate defeat. He said, my center's caving in. My right, my sinners pushed back, my right's caving in. He said, situation excellent, I am attacking. Praise God, I want you to understand how the devil may say we're losing. Praise God, it's the best time to attack that I've ever seen, to attack this thing of God, with God. Now the Bible tells me that David headed off and the Philistine began to make fun of him and scorn him. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with a staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. The glory of God, he said, I'm not coming to you that way. He said, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. I'm coming with God on my side. I want you to understand, as far as the world is concerned, we may be outnumbered, but praise God, I've read in the book, we win. I'm on the winning side. We may not be in great numbers, but we're winning. We're on the winning side. And I want you to understand here that the old Philistine began to mock David and curse him, make fun of him. He said, I'm gonna feed your flesh to the fowl of the air. This day will the Lord, David said, this day will the Lord deliver me into thine hand. I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Praise God, this thing is God's. It's in His hand. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near, Now to meet David. David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. I want you to see, I want you to get a picture now. The army of the Philistines on this hill, and Goliath coming down, and little old David coming on this hill, and the army of Israel and Judah on this hill. And You ever watched a ball game when the one team is just winning, running away, and that team is screaming and hollering, shouting and cheering on their team? That's what was happening on the hill of the Philistine. They looked and saw David, and the same thought came in their mind that was in Saul's. They said, it's in the bag. I mean, they had already said, Goliath had already told him, said, send a man to fight me. If he defeats me, we'll become your servant. But if I defeat him, you'll become ours. They seen little old David coming off that hill. And they went to cheering and a hollering. Can you hear them over here on this hill? I mean, they're cheering on Goliath. You've got this thing. This thing's in the bag. Everything's going to be all right. We ain't got nothing to worry about. How Goliath has got him took care of. Yeah, man. Up here on this hill. Yeah. Army of Israel and Judah sitting down with their heads down, rubbing their hands and weeping. It's over. David's three brothers that was in the army wouldn't go with David. They was up there wringing their hands. What are we going to tell Daddy? David's done went plumb crazy. He's going down here to get himself killed. Now we're going to have to go home and tell Daddy we let him do it. What are we going to do? They're weeping now. They know it's over. Everything is happening. On the other hill over here, they're cheering. They're hollering, go Goliath, go Goliath. You got him. It's easy. This is going to be easy. They're cheering, oh Goliath on. Oh Goliath goes down that hill. The Bible tells us to let a man not think that he stand, to take heed lest he fall. He's going to fall. And the Bible tells us that Goliath started off that hill with them a-cheering behind him. And when he did, old David, he thought old David turned and run.
Yeah.
Old David did run, but it wasn't the way. He began to run to the battle.
Yeah.
David took him one of them stones out and he put it in a little old sling like this. I'm sure it was out of leather. This one, I bought this one over there, and he put one of them rocks in that thing and he wound it up and he let it go. Now, I want to read to you what the Bible said here. The Bible said it came to pass when the Philistine drew near and came and drew nigh to meet David. David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag, took thence a stone, slaying it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. I don't know how many of y'all ever watched these programs that comes on where they're going to explain the miracles of the Bible. Anybody ever watch it? I watch it some, and I get mad every time I do. I don't know why then. They was going to tell one day how David was able to defeat Goliath. I said, boy, I want to hear this. They said that Goliath had a brain tumor. And that when David let that rock go, it hit him in the temple. And that when he did, that tumor busted and he died of a cerebral hemorrhage. I mean, they want to say it happened, but they don't want to tell it right. Praise God, if you're going to tell it right. Tell it how it happened. The Bible said that the stone hit him in the forehead and sunk into his forehead. Now, if one of you were standing back there at the back and I could wind one of them rocks up on that thing and let it go and hit you in the forehead, which way are you going to fall? That thing. You're going to fall backwards. The Bible said he fell on his face. Every knee. Praise God. Even old Goliath had to bow before God. Every knee is going to bow one of these days and confess him. Old Goliath bowed. He bowed down to the ground. I want you to understand that when old David let that rock go, God guided that thing, and I believe he added a little extra boost to it. It sunk into the head of old Goliath. And old Goliath fell on his face to the ground. That crowd on that hill over there cheering, "Oh, get up, Goliath, get up!" David walked up to him, he didn't even have a sword. He drew out Goliath's sword, cut off Goliath's head with that sword. Now I want you to notice something. Something's changed. Something happened right there at that moment. A great revival broke out. Right then, I want to read to you. Right here, the Bible said, therefore, in verse 51, therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They turned and run. Now, that great spirit that was in them went down. But I want you to notice the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. There was a great reviving broke out in the camp of Israel. That camp that was over there weeping and mourning and down, the glory of God jumped up, began to shout, and praise God, they lit in after that crowd. They said, we'll take care of them. Yeah. Glory to God, they slew them that day. Glory. I want you to understand, it was because one little old boy, he said, I'm going for God. There was a spirit in David that some of the rest knew nothing about. But I want you to understand this morning, that same spirit that was in him, if you're saved today, lives within you. I want you to understand, he's wanting to do the same thing for you. that He did for David. He's wanting you and I to take a stand and stand for God no matter what the world does. Lord of God, go for God. I want you to understand there was a great battle went on that day. But David didn't face a giant. Goliath faced a giant. Old David became a giant in Jesus' service. Praise God. Old Goliath met one like he had never met before. Lord of God, he thought he had fought some battles. He had never fought one like this before. Now I want you to understand this morning, there's a cause that you and I stand for Jesus. I'd love somebody to come to the piano if I could and just play for just a minute. I want you to understand, there's a reason. When my youngins was small, and back then I was preaching some revivals and going, and when I got saved, I wanted to start a family altar in my home, and we'd get together and we'd pray, and one night, I said to youngins, cry, we're just going to wait till they get older. And my youngest daughter, we'd got a puppy, and we was downstairs giving it a bath, and Betty went upstairs, set her down, reached to get a blanket. Well, she took off crawling and went down the basement steps and come off about halfway down. Landed on the side of her head, and it swole out to her ear. We rushed her to the hospital, and I went in the hospital emergency room, and I laid her in a nurse's arms, and I fell on my knees. I don't know how many was in that waiting room, but I fell on my knees. I turned and began to cry out to God. I said, God, you'll spare. I said, we'll start back our family altar. We'll never quit. We never did. We started it back, and a lot of times I was gone, but my wife and the youngins would get together and read a little scripture every night and pray before they went to bed. And I'd pray that God would let my youngins be in some Holy Ghost revivals. That they'd know what revival was. That it wasn't just a series of meetings, but it was where the presence of God was at. Glory to God. God let it happen. Now I'm praying for my grandyoungins. Well, I'm going to stay in there. I told my wife, she went with me to Raleigh. I said, this is hard to go down there and sit out in the hot sun all day or half a day. And it was hot that day. Boy, it was miserable down there that day. But I said, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to stand all I can while I can. When the youngins are grown, the grand youngins, when they're grown, they say, my papa took a stand. My nana, she went with me. But I want you to understand, there's some Goliaths in my life. There's some Goliaths in your life. You're facing Goliaths right now. Some of you are facing some things you've never faced before. But I know one that can help you. And maybe you're not taking the stand that you need to for your family. Lord of God, I'd come today to an old-fashioned altar. And I'd get down and say, God, I want to stand. I want to do all I do for you. And I want to honor you. As Brother Ken comes to the front, I'm going to ask you to stand for just a moment.